duck. The Defense Department saw a sharp uptick over the past year in the number of facilities that are in failing condition, a result of conscious decisions to make building upkeep a low priority during constrained budgets. As Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu reports, things are likely to get even worse over the next year.
At this time last year, the Pentagon reported that 7% of its facilities were in failing condition. As of last week, that had increased to 18.9%. Officials said Thursday it's a direct result of decisions over the past year to exempt significant risk in facility maintenance in order to preserve scarce operating and maintenance funds for training and other military readiness shortfalls. Consequently, more and more buildings that were already in poor condition slipped into the failing category within DoD's Facility Condition Index. Things are almost certain to get worse over the coming years. The Pentagon's 2016 budget asked for only enough facility sustainment, restoration, and modernization funds to cover 81% of its actual maintenance needs. The 2017 budget request of $7.5 billion would cover just 74%. Catherine Hammack is the Assistant Secretary of the Army for Installations, Energy, and Environment.
We have over 52,000 buildings in poor or failing condition right now. And the majority of our budget is focused on combatant commander requirements and new missions, which for us is cyber or unmanned aerial aircraft. What that does not get after is a significant number of existing buildings out there that are failing. And that is the biggest challenge that we are facing in the Army.
All three military departments say they prioritize new construction over existing facility sustainment in the 2017 budget, but the MILCON budget would also be 14% lower in 2017 than in 2016, and the lion's share of it would be used to support essential military operations, including facilities to support new aircraft, not to replace buildings that have deteriorated so much that they need to be torn down. Miranda Ballantyne is the Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Installations, Environment, and Energy.
We have prioritized MILCON in our budget this year, allowing us to get after some of those mission-critical, worst-case existing mission infrastructure. But as I said, the backlog is very significant, and we're only able to fund about 30 of the 500 top priority projects that our MAGCOM commanders have submitted. We really are in a position of, it's not a question of whether infrastructure is going to fail, it's what's going to fail and when. And we have a very robust, sophisticated process to try to optimize the mission critical worst case first. But it's hard without a crystal ball to know exactly what's going to happen.
Dennis McGinn, the Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Energy, Installations, and Environment, says all the military branches have been putting more effort into gathering and centralizing the data they have about discrete aspects about their building's condition in an effort to ensure they're spending what facility sustainment dollars they do have in ways that are likely to prevent the most catastrophic problems.
Starting about a year and a half ago, we took a look at how best to determine our facilities' condition and to prioritize particular parts of those facilities. A simple example would be it's really important that the roof doesn't leak. So roofs are more important than appliances inside the building. Walls, structure, and decking. And we wanted to make sure that as we looked across our whole installation infrastructure, that these priorities were being applied so that we categorized our allocation of sustainability funds into fixing the most critical aspects. This has been something that has been briefed to our service chiefs and their staffs, and they're very and down through the chains of command. Everybody is very pleased with the fact that we are putting the money against the most critical projects.
And for the fifth year in a row, military officials pointed out that the deterioration in DoD buildings has a lot to do with the fact that its limited maintenance dollars are spread across tens of millions more square feet of real estate than is actually needed. In the 2017 budget, the department again called for a base realignment and closure round, starting in 2019. The excess capacity problems are most acute in the Air Force and Army. Their rough calculations suggest that they have 30% and 21% more facility space, respectively, than they could ever practically use. Hammack says the Army's troubles with unneeded facilities will only grow worse as its active duty force continues its drawdown to 450,000 soldiers by the end of next year.
Well, the biggest challenges in drawdown is that they create empty spaces. And so we are still maintaining money to operate a base that should be 100% full, and it might be 75% full or 50% full. So our base operating costs are the same, yet we've reduced the military manpower. When we consolidate in, we can optimize our infrastructure, we can reduce our costs, and then focus the funding on warfighter needs. And so the biggest concern as we're reducing end strength is we would like to manage our real estate in response to that. The Army has real estate left over from World War II when we were a force of 8.3 million. We never got rid of all of that excess infrastructure, and we're whittling away at it. We've never reduced our infrastructure down to the 7% or even the 10% where we probably should operate. For the Army, in each round, we're taking out anywhere from 4 to 7% with an average of 5% each BRAC round. And that helps us, but that doesn't get us where we need to be.
In the absence of a BRAC authorization, the Army's Installation Management Command has ordered all of its base commanders to consolidate their tenants into their newest and best buildings so that older ones can be mothballed, avoiding the costs of facility upkeep and of demolition until budgets improve.
The strategy for right-sizing within the installation means that we consolidate personnel into the best quality buildings, and we are able to shut down those buildings, which means you modify the temperature controls, you don't have lights that you have to manage, and you put them pretty much on in cold storage. So we have identified that there's approximately 40 million square feet that we could put into cold storage through those efforts. And since it costs us about $3 a square foot to maintain buildings that are underutilized, we think that 40 million square feet could be about $140 million annual savings.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.